Good evening. Welcome. It's good to see you all. Welcome if you're joining us online. If you're here, please do stay for a drink afterwards. It would be lovely for us to chat to each other and encourage each other. Really pleased to have Pete with us to bring God's word to us. And those of you who are here this morning heard one of the stories that Jesus told about people making a bad choice. This evening, we've got another story that Jesus told, but this time it's encouraging us to make a good choice. So looking forward to that. Well, it's great to be able to sing praise to our God, and it's great if we can grasp the truth of the song we're about to sing. Just how the God of heaven chose to die for people who had ignored him for most of their lives. So I'm hoping, yes, that's good. So when the music starts, let's stand and sing. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Saviour's blood?
Thank you.
Let's pray. Our Father, as we've just been singing, we are glad that you're a God who sets people free from their chains. And we pray that as we come to you tonight, that you'll set us free from the chains that so often limit our minds and limit our lives so that we don't live as you've made us. We live feeling distant from you. Oh Lord, you know some of us live in a sense of being trapped, unable to be free to do the right thing. And Father, we do thank you that Jesus came to set us free. We thank you that Jesus paid the price, that Jesus broke the power of sin and death, so that we may come to you as our Father. We may present all our prayers, our requests to you, the living God, knowing that you know us, knowing that you know about us, and knowing that you care about us. So we ask that as we come to you now, you will help us to hear your voice. And we pray that it won't just be words that go in and out of our heads, but there'll be words that come right down into our hearts and change our lives. Amen. So we're going to hear what God has to say to us. They're words that Jesus spoke originally. They're recorded in Matthew chapter 13. And we're going to read from verse 44 through to 52. So this is what God says to us. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into containers, but threw away the bad. So it will be at the close of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? They said to him. Yes, and he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who brings out his treasure, what is new and what is old. So we're looking forward to Pete preaching to us from that passage later. But now we're going to sing again. We're going to sing, I cannot tell why he whom angels worship should set his love upon the sons of men. So when the music starts, let's stand and sing. Our Father, we thank you for this beautiful day you've given us. We thank you for this beautiful world and this beautiful part of the world that you've given us to live in. Oh, you are good to us. And we thank you that we can look forward to the day when you're going to make everything perfect. There's going to be nothing wrong. That you're going to take everything bad and get rid of it. And that there will be perfect peace. And that there will be no barrier at all between us and you. And we will see you as you are. And you will change us. Oh, we do pray that you will come and bring that about. Because there's so much in this world that makes us sad. But we pray too that if we're your children, Father, we pray that we will be people who work to bring your kingdom about. Oh Lord, we have this wonderful message of your great love for whoever will come to you, who can be set free from whatever is holding them a prisoner. Oh Lord, you know how foolish we are. You know how easily we go chasing after things, thinking that they will make us really happy forever, only to find that whatever we learn, we never know enough. Whatever we get, it's never enough. Whoever we know, it's great, and we thank you for human friendship and love, but it still leaves that gap. Oh, Father, we pray that you will give us that right dissatisfaction, that right hunger, so that we want to know you more and more and be full of you, and that we won't be satisfied until we are with you forever. And Father, we thank you that you are loving and strong. We thank you that you know everything about us. So you know the worries that we face. You know the things that we cannot control. You know the things that we are not looking forward to in this next week, as well as the things that we are looking forward to. And you tell us to cast our cares on you because you care for us. So we do that. And we pray especially for those with health worries. Oh Lord, we pray that you will comfort them. That they will have that peace that whatever is wrong with their failing body, you know you're in control and it won't last forever. Oh Lord, we pray you'll bring healing if that's your will. We pray you'll bring relief from suffering. But we know that you're good and that you're in control. And there are some things on our minds that we're ashamed of. Lord, you know about them. And we pray that you'll help us not to hide away from them. We pray too that you will help us not to listen to the lies of the devil which say that they don't matter. That the things that we feel guilty about are not important. Lord, you've given us our consciences to make us feel guilty about the things we should feel guilty about. And you tell us that if we confess our sins, our anger, our hate, our lack of love, our selfishness to you, because they're not like you and they're not what you want us to be like, that you will forgive us, you will restore us, and you will give us your Spirit's help to live more like Jesus. So we pray that we will know that. And we ask, Lord, that you will give us a trust, that you will give us everything we need. Oh Lord, we thank you, we have your word. And we pray for Christians where having your word is a risky thing. Lord, we thank you for the bravery of the Christians in Iran and the Christians in China who will declare your goodness, who will live for you despite the great cost that they often face. And we thank you that there your word is having a great impact. And we pray that it will continue and that many more people will be rescued from darkness and brought into your glorious light. Oh Lord, we pray that you will help us as we hear your word now. We pray you'll help Pete, give him good words, give us ears that listen. And we pray that our lives will be lives that are dedicated to seeking the treasure of knowing you and sharing that treasure with others. Amen. So we're going to sing again, and then after that, Pete's going to come and speak to us. I once was lost in darkest night, yet thought I knew the way, the sin that promised joy and life. And isn't that true? That no one says, this thing is going to cause you ruin. But I guess many of us would say, yeah, it did. I remember listening to my friend Mark, not Mark who's here, talk about his teenage years. He'd been brought up in church. He decided that that wasn't for him. And he went on a binge of drugs and drink. And he tells us, and he told me, just how dark that got for him. How hopeless. How meaningless. How desperate he felt. Then God found him and set him free. And many of us haven't had perhaps as dramatic life as he has. But many of us can say, yeah, those things that I thought was going to make me happy, they didn't. But I found Jesus and he has. So that when the music starts, let's stand and sing.
Thank you. Well, good evening. It's good to be with you again. And we're in Matthew's Gospel, Matthew 13. And we're thinking this evening about the worth of Jesus' kingdom. So I've left my clicker over here, sorry. Thank you. So the worth of Jesus' kingdom. Now, we all know that in July, this coming July, over 10,000 athletes from around the world are going to descend on Paris for the 2024 Olympics. Around 5 million people are expected to be there. Many of you know that 100 years ago, check we're on here. Am I pressing the right thing? Okay. Here we go. Was that you or me? It was you, okay. We'll do that scratching nose thing, okay. So 100 years ago, all eyes were actually on Paris again for the 1924 Olympics. And among them was the world's finest athletes there. And one of them, you may know, was Eric Liddell, Scottish sprinter. Famous for his Christian faith, famous for not running on a Sunday. You may have seen the 1981 film Chariots of Fire. And Little has this brilliant line in the film. He says this: God made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure. Because Little saw all of life as worship, even his sport. But Little never saw his worth in sport. He valued his faith in Jesus of greater worth than sport. And that's why he sacrificed his place in the 100-meter event for church on Sunday, swapping it for the 400 meters, which, of course, he famously won. But it's also why Little was prepared to leave fame and to leave comfort and to become a little-known missionary to China. See, Little not only famously said, God made me fast, he less famously said, but more often said, God made me for China. And that is where he went and lived the rest of his days telling people about Jesus. And at the end of the film, Chariots of Fire, you may remember the film screen, the screen fills with the text, Eric Liddell, missionary, died in occupied China at the end of World War II, all of Scotland mourned. Here, our next slide. So he stands in stark contrast to his main 100-meter rival, Olympic sprinter Harold M. Abrahams. Abrahams saw his worth in his sport. He valued it over everything. And in the film, Chariots of Fire, as he prepares for yet another race, he utters these memorable words. And now in 1 hour's time, I will be out there again. I will raise my eyes and look down that corridor, 4 feet wide, with 10 lonely seconds to justify my whole existence. But will I? We all have something. We all have some things that we value above all else. We see, we feel our worth in relation to it. Maybe today your sense of worth, maybe it goes up and down by how you're doing on the sports field, or by your grades at school or college, or by meeting targets at work, or getting a promotion, getting a bonus, or maybe it's in your friendships, how well they're going, or in your status, or your power, your reputation, your influence. Maybe view it's your wealth, possessions. Maybe it's your looks, or your health, or your social media profile. The list could go on. What is it you value above all else? That's something, that's someone you couldn't do without. You give the world for. You treasure above all else. God gives us many, many good gifts in this life that we're to receive with thanksgiving to him. But Jesus says, there is something that is worth more than anything in the world. And it's this: belonging to the kingdom of heaven. Jesus' kingdom. Now, I admit, that might be hard to see sometimes. Because so many people around us don't rate Jesus, don't rate his kingdom. In fact, many laugh at him. Many hate him. Think he's irrelevant. Maybe that's you this evening. But they always have. That's always been the case. Even when Jesus walked this earth 2,000 years ago. And so Jesus gives us, one of you spotted, there are actually four parables, four stories this evening in our reading. Stories with a meaning to help us see the great worth of Jesus' kingdom and belonging to it. Matthew 13 starts with the parable of the sower, where we see that we receive Jesus' kingdom as we hear and receive his words. And the rest of chapter 13, Jesus teaches what the kingdom of heaven is like. A few weeks ago, in verses 24 to 43, we listened to the parable of the weeds and the mustard seed and the yeast. We were looking at the growth of Jesus' kingdom. Now in verses 44 to 52, the parable of the hidden treasure, the pearl of great price, the net and the house owner, Jesus teaches about the worth of the kingdom. So let's dive in. Next two slides, I think. Okay, no, that's great. Yeah. Here's our first thing. The kingdom of heaven, it's worth your everything. It's worth your everything. Look at verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and he buys that field. So I want you to imagine you're a first century farm worker. And you're digging your boss's field one day and your spade hits something hard. You stop digging, you brush away the mud to uncover a box. No one's around, so you carefully prise off the lid. And you're not expecting what's inside. It's literally glistening with treasure. There's gold rings, silver necklaces, huge diamonds. And just like that, you've become a first century millionaire. You've shot right to the top of the Judean rich list. Who left the box there? What did you think of Jesus' day? So remember, back then, there were no safe deposits in banks. Houses were far easier to break into than your houses today and my houses today. So one way to keep things safe was to just bury them in the ground somewhere. And in Jesus' story, this man, he's so full of joy at his find that he buries the box again. He sells all that he has to buy that field. And so the treasure becomes legally his. Now, Jesus is not commenting here on the rights and wrongs of what this man does. He's telling a story to make a simple point, and it's to show the huge worth that this man placed on the treasure he finds. And the next parable, it teaches pretty much the same point. Look at verses 45 and 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all he had and bought it. So here's a merchant who knows his pearls. He finds a pearl that's so valuable that, just like the farmer, he goes and sells everything to get that pearl, that treasure. And Jesus is using both parables to make the same point. The kingdom of heaven has infinite worth. It is so valuable that it's worth sacrificing your everything in order to be part of it. It's really important we understand what Jesus is not saying here. We know from other things Jesus teaches that he is not saying that we can literally buy eternal life. He's not saying that. We can't buy membership in the kingdom of heaven like we might buy a membership of a gym. His simple point is, look, value being in my kingdom above everything else. Let go of everything in this world that stands in your way of being in my kingdom. And I wonder if this evening there's something for you that stands in your way of entering the kingdom of heaven. What is that for you, if there is something? There is one difference, I think, in between these two parables that's worth noticing. So the man in the field found the treasure by surprise. But the pearl merchant was actively looking for treasure. And it's like that with Jesus' kingdom. I wonder, who are you most like of those two, if any of them? I mean, some people stumble across the treasure of eternal life that's in Jesus, and it's to their surprise, their delight. One next slide. Recently, we watched a film called Woodlawn. If you've not seen this, I recommend it. It's a true story about a revival in an American football team in the 70s. That spread, this revival spread through many schools. And at one point, there's a school official. And he walks into the school gym and finds it full of students praying. And he turns to one of the teachers present and he demands to know, what's going on? And he barks to her, are you leading this? To which she replies, no, sir. Last week, I was an atheist. The kids, they're leading me. It's spreading all over the school. Maybe you weren't looking for Jesus, for eternal life. You were the most unlikely person to become a Christian. And you stumbled across Jesus and realized he's of great worth to you. Other people, in fact, many, many people, maybe you today, are searching like the pearl merchant. You have big questions. And you're finding that all that glitters in this life actually isn't gold. You're searching for something more. Here's our next slide. Thank you. And again, great. I wonder if you can relate to the amazingly successful Rugby World Cup winner, Johnny Wilkinson. He said this. Listen carefully to what he said. So honest. It feels I spent years trying to fight depression with another Six Nations championship or more caps or titles or points. Surely I told myself, they will keep you off my back. It doesn't. It's never enough. Isn't that honest? Let me just flip over. Thank you. Maybe today you're seeking something more than all your achievements. A greater treasure than this world offers. Can I say to you this evening, you can search the whole wide world. Don't miss the treasure that is right in front of you this evening in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is this priceless treasure. And in the next parable, Jesus teaches us why. Why his kingdom, why belonging in his kingdom is worth your everything. Here's why. The kingdom of heaven, it's our next point, it's worth your forever. It's worth your forever. Something swanky. Look at verse 47. Jesus says this. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into containers, but threw away the bad. So it will be at the close of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But here's why being in the kingdom of heaven is so valuable. And why we should value it over everything in this world. Because whether or not we have Jesus as our treasure determines our experience when we stand before him on judgment day. So, the illustration, Jesus gives the story of a huge dragnet being dragged across the Sea of Galilee. The fishermen, they're scooping it up, they're catching everything in its wake. As they pull it on shore, they sort out the fish on the beach. They throw away fish that are just bad for selling to the local chippy. So fish are too small, they're inedible. And then they collect into baskets those fish that are good for selling to the local chippy. So the fish that are big and healthy. And Jesus explains the parable in verses 49 and 50. And he takes us in our mind's eye. Try and go there now. In your mind's eye, to the end of this age. When we, along with all of humanity, stand before Christ on Judgment Day. And Jesus says, look, then the angels are going to divide everyone who's ever lived into two vast groups. There's the evil and there's the righteous. I mean, this is stark, isn't it? Who are they? Well, the righteous are those who see the eternal worth of Jesus. The eternal worth of his kingdom. And receive him as their Lord and trust him as their Savior. Their treasure. And they are made right with God. Hence, righteous. They're made right with God. They're righteous in God's sight. Because they've turned from their sin. And are turning from their sin. And trusting that Christ died in their place. For forgiveness. And there's the evil. Those who live for this life only. Not seeing the worth of Jesus in his kingdom. And so reject him. Remain indifferent towards him. And so they remain unforgiven. And under the just wrath of God. For their sinful indifference to the Son of God. And their rebellion against him. And so in verse 50, Jesus lovingly warns of a serious eternal reality. Jesus says, the wicked, the evil will be thrown into the blazing furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. He's warning of the eternal reality of eternal punishment in hell under the wrath of God for those who reject his Son. This is hard to grasp, isn't it? But Jesus is straight with us about hell. I want you to try to imagine. Imagine that your life is a dot on a page. And in that dot is your wrinkled little birth. Your cheeky childhood. Your terrible teens. There's your maturing adulthood. There's your spreading middle age. There's your shrinking old age. And it's all in the dots. Everything. But now imagine that dot sits on a line that simply goes on forever and ever. It literally never stops in heaven or hell. And what you do in the dot with Jesus and his kingdom, that depends on where you spend the forever line. Can you see why the kingdom of heaven, Christ's kingdom, being part of it, being in it, it's not just worth your everything. It's worth your forever. The stakes can't be higher. Do you understand this today? Just how important it is to see the eternal worth of Jesus and his kingdom and to receive it. To be made right with God through turning from your sin, trusting in the death of Christ for you, receiving him into your life, being made right with God through faith in Jesus, that you might be heaven, not hell bound. You might live and die with eternal life in him. Do you understand that? Because that is the question, if you notice, that Jesus asked the disciples next. In verse 51, he says, "Have you understood these things?" They said to him, "Yes." And so Jesus tells them another short parable to teach them, is our third and final point, about the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven, it's worth your understanding. It's worth your understanding. Have a look at verse 53. And Jesus said to them, "Therefore, every scribe, every teacher who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who brings out his treasure what is new and what is old." Go to our next slide. I want us to try and think of it like this. Imagine if this evening we had put a banner right the way across Crowborough High Street. And on the banner, we had something like "Priceless Antiques, new gold, new silver and diamonds, free today at Forest Fold Baptist Chapel." I mean, I wonder if there'd be any more people here tonight. Probably not on a Sunday evening, but I wonder how that would have gone down. Because Jesus is saying that when a disciple in his kingdom, so a preacher like me or Mark or John or others or your Sunday school teacher, your youth leaders teaching your young people, your children, when they teach God's law, they teach the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, it's like a homeowner bringing out of their basement old and new treasures so that they're spiritual millionaires, just handing out millions worth. You see, as you've heard, as you've understood about Jesus today, do you understand what you have been offered? Literally. Every time you listen to a sermon, God's word taught. Every time you learn or teach in a home group or midweek Bible study or prayer meeting, or a youth group talk or a Bible study, or a one-to-one with someone that you're doing, looking at God's word, or every time you're kind of blessed in your daily Bible reading, you're being handed literally eternal treasure. You are handling eternal treasure. Understanding the teaching of God's word, that's all about Jesus and his kingdom, that it's worth your everything, it's worth your forever, is being like being handed priceless treasures. Go to our last slide, thank you. It's worth your understanding this. I mean, this should transform how we come to sermons. It should transform how we come to home groups and youth group Bible studies, your daily times in God's Word. You are receiving eternal spiritual treasures literally. Can you just grab your Bible? Just, or if you've got a phone, your phone is fine. hold up your Bible high. Okay, so here, in the Word of God, what do we have? Come on, let's ask some people. What do we have from tonight?
Life.
Treasure. Eternal treasure. That is what we hold in our hands. Because it's here, God's Word tells us, we are made wise to salvation. It's how we get to know what God's like. How we get to see the wonder of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's treasure that we should value above all else. It's here that we begin to see, through faith in Jesus, that He's made us. He's made us for Himself. And we can live for His glory. We can feel His pleasure in our lives, in all of life. It's here that we see that our achievements, our worth is not in our achievements. Our worth is in Christ. Be made in the image of God. We don't need to justify our existence. It's in Jesus that we, and His Word, we daily stumble across treasure. And we actively seek treasure more valuable than all this world could ever offer us. Because it's lasting. It's about your forever. In Jesus, you find strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. So pray. Pray as you come to sermons. Pray as you come to home group Bible studies. Pray as you come to youth group talks. Pray as you come to your Bible each day that it will be like treasure to you. As the psalmist wrote in Psalm 119, 162, I rejoice at your word like one who finds great spoil. Or we could translate that. I rejoice in your word like one who discovers great treasure. I'm ecstatic over what you say like one who strikes it rich. I rejoice over your promise like one who finds vast treasure. For it's as you treasure Jesus in His word that you value Him above everything. Because you see, He has your forever in His hand. And you then rest in His salvation. And that frees you to enjoy the blessings of this life. Feeling His pleasure, but holding loose to them as you treasure Jesus above all else. We need God's grace. We need the Holy Spirit to help us do this. Let's pray as we close. Lord Jesus, your value is beyond what we can put into words. Lord, you are worth our everything. You are worth our forever. You are worth our understanding. So we pray, help us to see through the world around us that glitters, that often feels so glorious to us, that we might see that you are more glorious. Your worth is greater. That we might surrender and give our lives to you. We pray in